Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, good evening, and happy pre-lated Merry Christmas. I trust that everyone had a glorious Christmas. I know I did. I thank and praise the Lord. I had the opportunity to visit my son and his family in Hampton, Virginia, and we had a glorious time. It's always a blessing to spend time with your family. So I truly thank and praise the Lord for gracing us to see my children and my grandchildren and soon to be my great-grand. I'm just praising the Lord because truly God is good, and, you know, it's amazing. This is the last Thursday of 2022, and I count it an honor and a privilege that God would allow me to speak a word with you all and you all that have tuned in by computer or by your phone. I thank and praise the Lord for you. I want to thank God for all of you that have continued to tune in and listen at the message that the Lord have laid on our heart. I thank and praise the Lord also for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. They is the host of this broadcast, and I thank and praise the Lord for just allowing us to play a small part. I just thank and praise the Lord for another year that God have spared me, another year God have kept me. Yes, it been some trials and tribulation, but as the scriptures say, I declare, the Bible said many of the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of all. And I just thank and praise the Lord that I'm still saved. My mind is made up. The old saints used to say, my mind is made up and my heart is fixed. And I tell you, my mind is made up and my heart is fixed. I'm going to serve the Lord till I die. I found out the blessing in being a child of God. I found out it was more than just attending a building. It's more than just having your name on the roll. But it's all about a relationship. Jesus paid a ransom price. He gave his life that we can be restored to our Heavenly Father. Everybody know the stories in Genesis, the first chapter. God always wanted a relationship with mankind. You know, the Bible said we made in his image and his likeness. And God always wanted a relationship with mankind. That's one of the reasons why he will come down in the cool of the day and spend time with Adam and Eve in the garden. And I'm so grateful, even though Adam and Eve messed up, everybody know the story. Eve allowed the enemy, the snake, rather, he influenced her. He used the body of a snake. But he influenced Eve to believe that God was not faithful, God was trying to hold out on them. Well, you know, even in the hour, oh, God, I thank you, in the hour and the time that we living in, the enemy, it's the old saints used to say, he don't have no new tricks, y'all. He's still trying to use the same old lies, the same old tricks. He's still trying to entice and influence people to believe that our Heavenly Father don't care. And, you know, I really believe in the hour and the time that we living in and maybe in your surrounding. And I had to learn how to live on this earth as a born-again believer. I had to learn that it was two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Well, God blessed us to come out of the kingdom of darkness, and he transferred me into the kingdom of light with Jesus. So I'm in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're a born-again believer, you also is in the kingdom of God. And you need to know, that's why Jesus said when Pilate was talking about what he could do, and Jesus would let Pilate know, it couldn't be, you couldn't do anything unless it was given to you. And then he let him also know, I am not of this kingdom. And so we need to realize if you've been born again, well, praise God, you in the kingdom of God. And his blessing, his benefits, his divine protection in it. And I just thank and praise the Lord for it. And there too again, Apostle Armstrong, if you listen, thank you. and the Lord so much for allowing us to play a part in the broadcast, sharing on Mondays and sharing on Thursdays and also on Friday with you and Apostle Gwenda McIntyre. I thank and praise the Lord for every message that he blessed us to share, and I pray that it been a blessing to the hearers, because, you know, I don't want to just come on the broadcast and just say, you know, I'm on the broadcast twice. That is not what it's all about. To me, I want to be affected. I want to be able to share with the people what I know God is saying, because anytime God give us a message, it ain't just to be a message, but he wanted to affect our life, to transform our life, to bring encouragement, to help bring balance, to help bring enlightenment and understanding. So there too, again, I just thank and praise the Lord for allowing us. So we're going to get in the word and see what my last message or the last word that God would have me to share with you. So we're just going to go on and pray. Father, it's in the master's name of Jesus. First, Father, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I give you praise. I give you honor for opening this door and granting us with the anointing and the wisdom and knowledge to share your word with your peoples all over the world. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, nobody's life can be enlightened. Nobody's life can be transformed. So, Father, I just want to tell you thank you again. I praise you and I bless you for it right now. And, Father, even today, I trust the Holy Spirit that he gonna speak and be released over the airways, and those that have opened up and into this broadcast today. I pray that enlightenment and understanding, I pray that people's lives will be transformed, not only transformed, but I even pray if sickness any discomfort in your body, I rebuke it now by the authority in Jesus' name right now, because Isaiah 53 tell us, for Jesus himself, Jesus was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with this stripe we were healed. So I just speak healing. I command that if any discomfort, pain in your body, I rebuke it. I command that pain to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. And I even pray for those that in bereavement at this time right now. Jesus said that he took your grief. So there too, again, God don't tell us not to grieve, but I rebuke and come against overwhelming grief, that it want to continue to suppress you, to cause you to continue to operate in sadness and sorrow, because that's not God with us. The Bible said we don't grieve like we don't have like no hope, but we do. But I pray and come against overwhelming grief. I come against a depression right now in the master's name of Jesus. I come against that person that feel like I just want to quit. I don't have no hope anymore. But I pray that God will restore your hope in the master's name of Jesus right now. Father, I just praise you and thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's being released over the airway, that is touching people's lives, that is healing people, encouraging people, and strengthening people right now, giving people hope again in the master's name of Jesus. I thank and I praise you for it. I rebuke and come against the spirit of suicide. I come against the thoughts of suicide. I bind it. I intercept it in the master's name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus against it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for the spirit of conviction. I pray, Father, for the spirit of conviction, because Jesus said no man could come except the spirit withdrawn. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that as you being released over the airways, that you won't only touch life, but you will bring conviction. You will bring conviction to that person that don't even know Jesus, that person that feel like it's no hope, that they don't have anything else to live for. I pray for conviction for them right now. I pray, Father, that you will bring enlightenment. You will bring understanding through this word that you will have us to share with your people. And I thank you, Father. I thank you that we have ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask. Amen. Again, I just thank and praise the Lord for another opportunity, but this really, like I say, it's a special day. You can say what you want to say, but to me, this is the last Thursday in 2022. And as I stated, I thank and praise the Lord for this opportunity. I thank and praise the Lord for every message that he has given us to share. And I just bless the Lord, and I just pray. We've been talking, you that been tuning in with us regular, we have been talking about how to overcome disappointment and discouragement. Because Jesus said that he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And, you know, I've been listening to some people already giving 2023 words that they said the Lord have given them. I'm not in a debate with people at all, because that's not the will of God for us to do that. The Bible says Satan is the one that accused the brethren. But I found out what the enemy does. He will influence us if we ain't careful to accuse one another. He do that because the word declared one can put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. But Jesus also said a house that divided will not stand. So what the enemy does, he influences us. If we ain't careful, he'll try to get us to fight against one another. Hear me good. That's why in the homes he wants husband and wife to be against one another. He wants children to be against their parents. He just don't want us to work together. And I say this all the time, if you want that tune into this broadcast regularly, you might hear me say this from time to time. The enemy go to extreme measures. Yes, he go to extreme measures because he want us to be at odds with one another. He want us to get in strife, offenses, because he know these are some of the things that will block our faith. Come on, somebody. Jesus said that we would to love our enemy, to bless them that curse us, pray for them that despitefully use us. Come on, somebody. That, in other words, that's the way you overcome evil. That's the way you overcome offenses. You overcome unforgiveness by forgiving, by praying for the one. Pray for your enemy. If they're hungry, the Bible tells you to feed them. And the enemy, he'll go to extreme measure because he don't want you to do it, you know. So like I said, Jesus came to give us abundant life, but that's not without opposition. The Bible tells us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, we're going to be coming from two places. I got two verses that I'm going to read, but it's going to be many verses. And I would advise you to read the whole chapter, James, the fourth chapter, but I'm going to start at that seventh verse. I'm going to read the seventh and the eighth verse. I'm in James, the fourth chapter, as I stated. We talked for about 2 weeks or more about overcome disappointment and discouragement based upon what we've been seeing on the earth and stuff. But I found out when Jesus said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. And even in St. John, the 16th chapter, I think it's the 33rd verse, Jesus said, In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, he said, be of good cheer. In me, I overcome the world. When he said he overcome the world, that means the one that causing all of this disturbance. And come on, somebody. One that is causing you or trying to influence you to be depressed, disgusted, frustrated, aggravated. Jesus done already overcome the enemy. But you and I have to walk it out. I want you to hear me. You have to walk it out. I have to walk it out. The one that is causing and trying to bring all the stress, division, you name it, that trying to cause, now that's the enemy. But Jesus done already overcome Satan for you and I. And what Jesus did, he didn't only just overcome it, but he came down, and I'm in the book of John right now, but I think it's in John 2nd, when it talk about he came among us. And dwelling, he became flesh. Jesus came. He started with an infant. God had him to go through the stages that you and I had to go through it. And in each and through them stage, even when he growed up and when he began to operate in his ministry, he did it to let you and I know that since he overcame for you and I, so you and I can be overcomers. That's why when you read in the epistles, the apostle, epistle, James, Peter, and all of them, they talk about overcoming. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Apostle Paul tell us you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. I can recall when I first got saved, that was one of the revelation that really changed my life when God opened my spiritual eyes and let me see. He said, you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood, but from some power. He let me know that my problem was not with flesh and blood. Humans, other words, he would let me know that people can be influenced by evil force just like they can be influenced by the Spirit of God. And I had to learn that, you know. And I think a lot of people would be able to get rid of all and resentment and bitterness and strife if you ever get that revelation to know that people can be influenced, and a lot of time people be influenced by the enemy and don't even realize they being influenced. Hallelujah. But anyway, in James, the 4th chapter, I want you to look at this at that 7th verse. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that submitting to God. Hallelujah. God have made a way. The Bible said God won't allow us to be tempted above that we able to bear. But God is faithful with the temptation, but he will make a way for our escape. And Psalms, and y'all know me, I like to go to scriptures and show you where it at. And Psalms, the 1st chapter, and I'm telling you, when it come down to operate and being affected in the authority that Jesus left for us, you've got to have a relationship with the Lord. Now, some people want to skip over that. I tried it. It didn't work. Yeah. You know, we always trying to find a loophole. I got spiritual children, and I tell them that. But he was saying that submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Now, some people feel like I can just resist Satan without submitting to God. No, you can't. No, you can't. I want you to hear me good. No, you can't. You see, God established order on this earth. God established laws and principles. And ever since day one, the enemy, as I stated, he had went to extreme measure to get people to rebel against the laws and the principles of God. And I'm telling you, it's consequences when you and I violate the laws and principles of God. Now, in Psalms, the 1st chapter, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of the sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scoffer. Now, there too again, you know, you cannot live in this, you cannot be a Christian and hang out with sinners all the time. I want you to hear me. As I stated, we're talking about the submitting to God. The purpose in it. How it going to benefit you and I. And as I stated, remember I said in the beginning, God want a relationship with mankind. And I mean, you know, I know some people feel like if I go to the building, which is the house of God, and if my name on the roll book, I automatically got a relationship with God. That is not true. If I'm on the deacon board, that don't necessarily mean you have a relationship with God because your name on the roll. But if you develop a personal relationship with God, y'all, it make all the difference in the world. Do you hear me? It make all the difference in the world. Now, I want you to hear me. And I'm telling you, godly people, we are known by and blessed by God. But the ungodly people have no part in God's kingdom. And that's why it tells you it has to be a separation between the two kind of people. That's why Paul said, he said, you can't serve two. Jesus said it, you can't serve two masters. But he was talking about money. And as the time draw nigh for the Lord to come back, the Bible said many would depart from the faith and they would heed the doctrine of the devil. Now, if the word of what I'm sensing, even in 2023, I think all of us need to get closer to God. Yes, we need to get closer to God. And we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, I was in this conversation with this pastor, and I was somehow telling him, I said, I don't know about nobody else, but I as a born-again believer, we need to get reacquainted with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that he told it was such an urgency for the people to stay in Jerusalem in Acts. In Acts, that first chapter, what Jesus told, he said, stay here till you receive the promise. And at that time, the promise was the Holy Spirit. He let them know, don't leave. They was asking about what was going to take place. He said, don't even worry about that. He said, in other words, he was telling them the most important thing that they needed to receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the presence, the power. You see, Jesus can be everywhere at the same time, but the Holy Spirit can. And I'm telling you, he is our keeper. He is our instructor. He's our teacher. Come on now. And I'm telling you, it is so important. But I'm going to read that, you know. And then he goes, I'm in Psalms, the first chapter, in the second verse. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He talking about the laws and principles, the commandments of God. You know, I had to learn for a while before I got born again. People used to tell me you couldn't live the Bible. People told me that couldn't nobody live the Bible. You can't do all of what that word say. And for a long time I believed it. But once I got born again and I began to study the word, and the more I studied the word and the Holy Spirit began to revelate to me, you can live this word. See, the Bible said the love killeth, but the Spirit give life. I have the Spirit on the inside of me. And Jesus said the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. So there too, again, you can live the word of God, and the Holy Spirit will enable you with the ability to do it. He even said in Isaiah, he who keep his mind on me, as we stated in one of the session that we were teaching about overcoming discouragement and disappointment. What you see that is contrary to what God's word say, what you think on that is contrary to what God say, it going to either bring discouragement or disappointment to you. And that's why he said, he who mind is stayed on me, where the way your mind be stayed on the Lord, that is by reading and being a doer of his word. Now, this wasn't in my notes, so this is the Lord having me to go to Psalms, the first chapter. It's the second verse. It said, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. God's word is so important to you and I living and experience that abundant life that we need to meditate on his word day and night. And guess what? God don't do that for you. You have to do that. You know, I found out, you know, when it comes down to discipline, you know, I think majority of the saints, our biggest problem is a discipline thing. Saints don't want to discipline themselves. You know, come on, somebody, you know. And the Lord told me that one time, he said, y'all be talking about losing weight. He said, all it is like a discipline. You know, it's amazing how you can sit up and watch TV 3 or 4 hours and then say a phone, Lord have mercy, this TikTok, I think that's what it is, TikTok. And you can sit up, and I'm telling you, I've been guilty. I have to be careful because I open up my phone and just checking to see, you know, I be checking to see what I'm supposed to be, you know, if anybody done text me. And if I ain't careful, my flesh will want to sit right there and just flip it and look. Come on, somebody, and get my attention when I need to be more in the word than others. But he telling right here, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doeth he meditate day and night. Now, it's up to you. You have to meditate in the word day and night. That sounds like Joshua, the first chapter, when Joshua took over and began to lead the children of Israel after Moses was gone. When Moses said, Moses dead, Joshua, Now I want you to take over. But he told Joshua from the beginning, he told him to be very courageous. And he told him that he was going to be with him. But he also told him to meditate in the word day and night. There's so many things can get your attention. Now some people might say, Prophet, I don't need that word. Let me tell you something. Until Jesus come, or until you and I leave, we going to need the word of God. God and his word is one. If you want to know, a lot of times you say, well, I don't know what God want me to do. Now, sometimes in church, making decision maybe about whether God wants you to move or God wants you to stay on the same job or maybe who to marry, you might not know that. But when it come down to daily living, it's in the word. It's in the word. That's the prayer when you don't know what job that maybe God wants you to go on or who to marry. You have to pray, well, okay, God, I want your will in this relationship. I want your will with this job. I want your will whether you want me to move or not. And, Lord, I'm open to your will. Reveal your will to me. And you know, but other than that, he tell us what to do. And he said in this summit, the first chapter, and then further, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. Look what else he said. And he said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You got that? Whatsoever he should do. In the first three verses, he telling you how a righteous person is someone been born again. He telling you how you and I supposed to live. But now look at that fourth verse. In that fourth verse, he said, the ungodly is not so, but are like the chaff which when driven away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, there too, again, as I stated, he's telling you and I how we supposed to live. And some notes, it said, those seeking to live under God, bless and meditate on God's law, his word, in order to shape their thinking, their attitude and actions. And there too, again, in order, that's why I remember scripture in James 4, said, submit to God. And resist the devil. So many people trying to resist the enemy. When you haven't renewed your mind, when you don't know what the words say, you're going by what you think and what you feel. Now the enemy know the word of God, but he also know when you a doer, because a monitor spirit, a monitor, you already know your action. Remember in Matthew the 4th chapter, when the enemy, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's just a sin to yield to temptation. Because Jesus was tempted. He just didn't yield to it. And guess what? You and I don't have to either. Stop selling yourself short. Stop saying, I win a few, I lose a few. My goal is to win all. Stop telling yourself, well, you can't do like Jesus and you ain't. So don't do that. You in Christ, Christ is in you, and you in Christ, you are one. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enables with the ability and the power. If we choose to do this word, we can do it. Come on, somebody. If we choose to do it, we can do it. And like I said, this is what James said in that James 4 itself. He said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you start this really whole fourth chapter, it's talking about your flesh desires. Now, when we got saved, we got a new soul. No, not a new soul. I'm sorry. We got a new spirit. Not a new soul. And that's why it's so important that we have to renew our mind daily. You got to stay in the word. Now, yes, Apostle Paul tell us, I think in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he tell us that though we walk in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. Casting down every imagination, every thought that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. You can only do that if you know what God's words say. And if you ain't been studying, I would say anybody in 2023, get more acquainted with God and his word. and get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit and learn to let the Holy Spirit lead you. That is so important. Y'all, we make so many, as born-again believers, we miss God so much and we make so many mistakes instead of listening to what he tells us to do. We think we get no better, and we'll try to do it our way, and we make a mess out of it. But he said, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And like I said, then the psalmist telling us how we supposed to yield to the word of God, how we supposed to not to walk around the sinners. Other words, now, what do you mean? That means you ain't got no business hanging out with sinners all the time. You ain't got no business hanging around them all the time, listening at what they do and what they think about God and what they think about the word. Because everything they say is contrary. You tell them you love God and you trying to live right, they'll tell you can't nobody be perfect. And they tell you ain't no way you can do that. I've been there, you know. You don't need to hang around. I love to hang around people that are going to encourage me in my encourage me and help me to increase my faith. I don't like to hang around folk going always saying, I hope God gonna do it, and maybe it ain't God will. If I want to know what the will of God is, all I got to do is read the word. And this is really what this psalm is saying. And then another translation I want to read from it, a commentary. It said, to be blessed by God is to be happy. Everyone wants to be blessed, but we should define what that means. For many people, being blessed refers to stuff acquired. Yet one can have abundance of stuff and be miserable. So put it simple, blessing is God-given capability to experience, enjoy, extend the goodness and favor of God in your life. Whatever form God, goodness and favor take, Paul confessed. And there too again, like I said, he was telling us what we need to do in order to experience, or better yet, see the laws and principle of God being fulfilled. And like I said, you can't just live any kind of way and expect to experience the abundant life or experience the peace and joy that Jesus promised. It don't work that way. And that's why he says submit to God. Well, how I submit, prophet? You submit to God, you and I, by reading his word, find out what his word say, do, and do it. You understand what I'm saying? Submitting to God is finding out what God says about us and his word and doing what he tells us to do. That's how you submit. That's your protection. And that'll cause a hedge to come up. Now, I learned this from my own experience. When you get out of alignment with God in his word, the enemy going to do what he want to do to you. Now, he gonna still attack even if you in alignment with God. But he'll really try to get you when you're not walking in line with what God's words say. You know, because see Paul told us, he said, Paul said, I know how to be content. And we all have to learn how to be content with what we have. And that's why sometimes people look at it, once I get saved, this ain't gonna happen to me, I'm gonna have this, everything gonna go. That's not so. As I stayed out listening at a lot of people said, well, 2023 going to be this and be that, you know. But even though Jesus promised abundant life, but let me tell you something, that's not without opposition. All who live a godly life going to suffer persecution. Many of the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of all. Regardless of what the enemy tried to bring in your life, Jesus paid for you to overcome it. You have the authority in Jesus' name. And when we use the name of Jesus, that name stands for everything he did, everything, who he is and what he do, and the blood of the Lamb. These are our spiritual weapons. That's why Paul said one of our spiritual weapons is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith. And I'm telling you, you is an overcomer. Okay, I want to read on some more. Okay, he said, a happy person does not do. First, he does not walk in the advice of the wicked. And there too, again, this is what he said. You don't have, as a born-again believer, you don't take advice from wicked people. or other word, people that's not saved. This what the psalmist was trying to say. He said, you don't stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. You don't take counsel from them. You don't take their advice. I have, you know, had people call me. I have had young ladies date somebody, and the person wasn't saved, and he don't do this, and he don't want to go. I said, first of all, you ain't got no business dating somebody that's not saved. He don't want to give tithes and offering. I said, honey, his nature is to sin. You don't tell a snake not to bite when it's his nature to bite. You don't do that. And a person is not saved. The Bible told us to be unequal yoked together with unbelievers. You ain't got no business. If you are born again believer, you ain't got no business hanging out with sinners all the time. Something wrong with that picture. Because sooner or later, they're going to either influence you to backslide, or you're going to influence them to come in with Jesus. But you shouldn't be taking their advice. And this is what he was saying. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And I'm telling the word of God, it is so important. And like I said, you had to make sure you get this right. A blessed person does not hang out with people who will influence him towards sin and away from God. Third, he does not sit in the company of mockers. Mocker made light of serious things, sending judgment everyone and everything, yet they fail to lie. And that's what they do. That's what the ungodly do. They're going to mock everything about God. They're going to find fault in everything you do. But when you, for time's sake, I'm going to drop down for time's sake. But when we delight in the word of God, what happens is we see what God say. We find out what God's words say he'll do for us. When we meditate on the word of God, we think about how it connects to life. We ask ourselves, how does the word speak to the circumstance? And this is what I love about the word of God. The word of God speaks to my circumstances. It's not one situation or one cigarette that the word of God don't. It speaks to whatever you and I may have to confront or what we got to face in life. The word of God speak to it. It tells us what to do. That's what I love about the word of God. And that's what really blowed my mind when I got saved. When I started reading the Bible, and it seemed like it was always talking to me. The word was always talking to me, telling me what to do. And I mean the revelation, the reality of it began to kick in. That blessed me. I said, he's talking to me. I mean, the word came alive to me. And from that day to this day, you can't tell me you can't live this word, because I'm sorry. I'm already sold. You can live this word. But there, too, again, you have your part to play. And in James, even James, the fourth chapter, look down at David. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, that's something else I found out. God ain't going to make you myself live right. God ain't going to make us live right. It's your choice. And I don't know about nobody else. In 2023, I want to get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to spend more time in God's word and less time watching cowboy movies. Now, someone said, now you saying that you ain't going to do that. With the help of the Lord, I can do that. You know, you haven't got it yet, the way God created us. Whatever we really want to do, we'll find a way to do it. But even the grace that comes when you get born again, if you really want to do what's right, and it's the will of God, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Now, you got your part to play. Because Jesus even said the first thing Jesus told them disciples, he said, now if y'all going to follow after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Because see, self is our worst enemy, not Satan. I learned that too. Because self, according to Galatians 5, your flesh is always going against what God wants you to do. That's just it. It don't want to do what God say do. But he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw night to God. And there too again, that's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. But I like, go home and read that, you know, after good off the broadcast, read this whole first chapter I love it. It says when we meditate on the word of God, we think about how it connects to our life. We ask ourselves, how does the word speak to the circumstances that we're currently facing? The gap between hearing the word and being blessed is closed with meditation. Consider life from the divine viewpoint and acting in accordance with it, bring the tangible experience of blessing. And he tells you what you like. He tells you what you like when you meditate in the word of God day and night. He goes on to say, the blessed person is like a tree planted beside flowing stream. Such trees is not easy to want. They hold their grounds. Ain't that some? And it tells you how the fruits are come from it. That is so powerful. That's how powerful the word is, you know. And that's why the enemy try to fight all of us and try to keep us from getting in the word. But I'm telling you, you need to be a student of that word, get in that word, meditate on that word, and be a doer of that word. Make up in your mind, I'm not going to just be a hearer, but I'm going to be a doer. Okay? And like I said, in James 4, it tells us in the 8th verse, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Ain't that so? Draw nigh to God. Okay, I'm going in 4 and 7. 4 and 7. 4 and 7. Hallelujah. James 4 and 7. It tells us submit to God, and then it tells us to draw nigh to him. To submit to God is to recognize, and there too again, we have to recognize that I need help. And I like what he even said. And also in here, he tell us to humble ourselves. The Bible tell us that God resists the proud and God give grace to the humble. And I found that humble yourself is acknowledging that you need help. You know, I've been in the ministry for some years now, but I'm going to tell you, the more I walk with the Lord, the more I'm conscious of my inability and his ability in me. I'm conscious of that I really need his help. I'm not as smart as the enemy wants me to believe or what I want to believe about myself. And in the hour and the time that we're living in, the Bible said man would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And a lot of people, the enemy wants them to believe if I got a few dollars in the bank, if I got a few automobiles, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. Because you got, and we said that in the beginning, because you got a lot of stuff, stuff don't make you happy. It's only God can make you happy. Yes, people can add to your happiness, but people cannot bring fulfillment. The way God created us is a void in all of us, and only God can fulfill it. Well, I know one thing. I won't finish this teaching, what I'm starting on. We're going to be talking about submitting to God and resisting the devil, the importance of submitting, total surrender, the importance of giving God your all. That's what we're going to be talking about for a while, as the Lord allow me to, because it's so important. Because what some people call submitting to God is I go to church on Sunday, I go to Bible study, I'm fine. No, 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 no. I'm talking about a relationship. You know, I'm talking, we can compare it to a husband and wife. I'm talking about a good relationship with a husband and wife. A husband and wife know. If they know anything about marriage, they know we got to spend time. We got to make time to spend time with one another. We got to communicate with one another. And Jesus made it possible that you and I can communicate with God. I don't know about you, I tell him everything. I talk to the Lord about everything. I tell him, well, Lord, you know, I just need your help. I know what I ought to be doing. I ain't doing it. And Lord, forgive me. And sometimes, y'all, when I'm even in unbelief and doubt, I just tell the Lord about it. And I have to talk to Ann, you know. One of my siblings, I was talking earlier today, and we were talking about people say, you shouldn't talk to yourself. I said, well, they better pray for me because I talk to myself. I tell Ann what she ain't going to do. Sometimes I talk to Ann, and I say, Ann, let me tell you right now, especially when I'm dealing with false accusations, I tell Ann Miller, let me tell you something. You're going to pray for them. You're going to bless them. And you is not going to talk evil about that individual. No, you ain't doing that. You know, some people say it's okay to talk to yourself, but don't answer yourself. Well, guess what? I talk and answer myself. Now, if this shoe don't fit you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You got to do you. I got to do me. But I found out. That's why it's so important. Jesus even said in Mark, you got to speak to the mountain. I found out I can speak to my circumstances. Oh, yeah, I can speak to my circumstances. You know, I told you how sometimes I go fishing, I be speaking to the fishing. I say, I forbid a catfish to get on my hook. When I'm walking through the woods, I be saying, Father, open up my eyes. Let me see what I need to see. And y'all, every time, all the time, if I'm walking through the wood or going through a little pass, going to the pond or going to a lake or something, if a snake anywhere around, God always let me see him. I learned that. And I'm telling you, it is so important, but I'm telling you, develop a relationship with God. God wants a relationship with you. Yes, he wants. That's why Jesus had to come, not only to pay for your sin, but he came that you could have a relationship with your Creator. And God, the Holy Spirit that dwell in us or come in us, once you get born again, he will help you and open up this word for you. Are you with me? And like I said, he said, draw nigh to God. It's to come into his presence with prayer, praise, and obedience. However, if you reserve this, and like I said, this not on a Sunday. Some people just say, you know, okay, I'm with God. I'm spending time with God when I go to church on Sunday. It's more to it than that. Because first of all, I learned you need to prepare yourself for the service. You know, the Lord told me one day, he said, you spend more time on the outward man. What about the inward man? And I had to learn. I started praying. Okay, when I go in any service, first I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. And then I said, now, Father, I will to hear what you got to say to Ann today. Holy Spirit, bring enlightenment, bring an understanding to me. You know, some people just go to church to show off their clothes, go to church because they don't win. Y'all, no. It's about a relationship. Okay, and then he tell her after we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. But then he tell us, he said, resist the devil. And I'm telling you, submit to God, like I said, that's one side of the coin. But the next thing, you got to be able to resist the devil. And like I said, that's where the spiritual war come in. That's when the enemy begin to target your mind, which is your soul, mind, will, and emotion. George Mike got this awesome book, bestseller book, Valor of the Mind. Because every thought ain't your thought. But you ain't going to know what's your thought and what's God's thoughts and what, if you don't know what the words say. And there too, again, that is so important. Like I said, all it has something to do with it. And I'm telling you, like, and I want you to, a lot of people, when you start talking about the enemy, they say, you giving him prayer. I ain't giving him nothing. But you need to know what you're dealing with. He's an invisible being, and he shoots at your intellect, your mind, your will, and your emotion. You're born again, believer. He can't make you and I do anything. What he do, he'll try to put so much of pressure on your will and your emotion. That's what he do. That's to try to get you to do it his way. Hallelujah. Now, y'all see, God done brought us from overcoming disappointment, discouragement, to submit. Because I don't know about you, I will to do the will of God. But just want to do the will of God, it's not automatically going to cause you to cause opposition. Opposition going to show up. That's why Paul said when he was just before he departed, he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. He had to do spiritual warfare as well. And you and I got to do spiritual warfare as well. Amen. But he said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. He said, clean your hand, yet you sinners. Purify your heart, ye double minded. And there too, he was talking about, as I said, if you read this whole James, the fourth chapter, he talking about your flesh desires. And he's talking to born again believers. This epistle is not written to sinners. When you go read the epistles of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and all, they talking to Christians. They telling us how we supposed to conduct ourselves once we get born again, once we get saved, once we receive the Holy Spirit. And they tell us in these epistles how to conduct ourselves in everyday life when we being confronted, when we being influenced by the enemy, or other people being influenced, or what's coming against us. Are we dealing with your spouse, dealing with your children, dealing with your family, dealing with your enemy? People's on your job. The Bible tell us how to conduct ourselves when we experiencing all of that. But I'm telling you, it is so important to develop a relationship with God. If you want to experience the victory, if you want to experience that abundant life that Jesus paid for, you need to have a relationship with God. And anytime you got a relationship with somebody, you don't just talk to them on Monday and don't talk back to them no more till next Monday. He'll say every day. You have to communicate with them every day. And I'm telling you, if you want to experience the victory that Jesus won, you're going to have to make some time, get in this word, read this word, spend time. You're going to have to meditate on the word. And I found out something else. A lot of times right now, if you experience a lot of adversity, get somewhere and get still and get quiet. The psalmist said on one occasion, be still, my soul. Be still and know that God is God. God's going to speak. The one thing the Holy Spirit ain't going to be trying to talk if you talking all the time. Sometimes you just got to cut the TV off and just get still, get quiet. Go in there and put on some praise and worship. I found out that's one of the best things we can do when you experience a lot of adversity. Do some praise and worship. Begin to lift him up. Begin to tell the Lord how much you love him. Begin to thank God for what he already done. Instead, I tell you what, you won't be doing all that mummy complaining. But then, now, you know, somebody said, now, Prophet Miller, your last message for the last Thursday and 22, you talking about submitting to God and resisting the devil. Yes, I am. I'm talking about a relationship because that's where it began. If you want to find, a happy couple, is because of their relationship with one another, how they submit to one another, they listen at one another, they make time for one another. And I'm telling you, it's the same way with God. I'm telling you, that's what started, because so many things in this hour try to draw our attention or get our attention from God. And the enemy, that's his number one target, to come between your relationship with God. He don't want you to have one with him. No, he don't want us to have no relationship. He want us to be doing other things than having a relationship. Because he know if we have a relationship with God, he'll make all the difference in the world. I'm telling you, having a relationship with the Lord. And that's why once we submit to God, listen, when we submit to God, to what God's word say, and doing what God, it's easy to resist the devil. But how can you resist him when you don't know what the word say? Because if you don't know what the word say, you can be doing things to open the door to him. Because even in Matthew the 12th, he said, if anyone enters a strong man's house, first you got to bind the strong man. The Bible tells us in Ephesians the 4th, he said, neither give place to the devil. And y'all, we can give place to the devil, but when we get in God's word and meditate on what God's word says, it tells you what God requires from us. In other words, God's responsibility to us and our responsibility to God. And I'm telling you, a lot of people want the victory, but they don't want to do what God says. It's just like, you know, you're wise enough to know if you go on the job, you got to do what they tell you to do. But let me tell you something, in the spirit realm, the same thing. And it's so much power in what James is saying. Submit yourself. That means an act of your will. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. He talking about the will of God. What is the will of God? The word of God. Do what he's telling you to do. Then he said, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. And I'm telling you, the more we yield ourselves over to what God's word say and doing what God's word say, you have better You are better, and it costs you to be stronger, and you can resist the enemy. And the moment he tried to put something in you that don't line up with God, oh, no, that's not God. I'm not doing that. But too many people, a lot of times, they trying to resist the devil. They ain't submitted to God yet. Like I said, I know I'm not, you know, because I had in my other scripture was, even in 1 Peter, fifth chapter, it tells us, in the 8th verse, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. The reason why he has to seek who he may devour, because you got some saints, they going to make sure that they meditate on the word, they're going to make sure they pray, they're going to make sure they pray and fast. And you got some, they just trying to get by, doing enough to get by. You is not going to experience the victory. Yes, the Bible said we are more than conquerors. But let me tell you something. In order to conquer another conqueror, you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you, what God requires from you, and do that. It's just like in Matthew 6:33, he tell her that, in Matthew 6, one of the scriptures, he tell her, he said, take no thought for your life. He tell us, take no thought of what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. Do you not know most of the people spend majority of their time thinking about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, how they're going to pay their bills? And he tell us what we need to spend most of our time on is seeking out God's way of doing things. Well, how are you going to do it if you don't get in the Word? You can't submit to God. Submitting to God is finding out what God's words say. I'm being repetitious and doing what that word say. But you got to get in here and find out what that word say. Too many people, they want to skip all of that and just, okay, I ain't got to submit to God, so I can still resist the devil. No, you can't. No, you can't. You got to put them two together. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You got to submit. You don't submit. Ain't no resisting power. I'm telling you that. You don't spend time in God's word. You don't never pray. You don't never fast. You don't never do praise and worship. Listen, these are the weapons. These are the most powerful weapons against these invisible beings. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. And like I said, I've had some people say, well, it don't take all that. Okay, might not take all that for you, but it take all of it for me. Come on, somebody. I tell people that all the time. I don't be doing all that. If it don't take all that for you, fine. It take it for me. I have to spend time in the Word. I have to pray in my prayer language, in my own language. I have to do it. I have to talk to myself. I have to declare and say what the Word says about my situation. A lot of time my emotion want to get with what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. And I have to remind myself that it's not of God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. I give you praise. And Father, even in this last message that you gave me to share with thy people this day, I pray, Father, that as they hear the word, that they would take it in consideration, that they would spend more time in 2023 in your word. They would even get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And I thank you and I praise you for it right now in the message name of Jesus. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I pray that you will have a happy new year. And as I stated, think about spending more time with the Lord. Strengthen your relationship with God in 2023. Now, that's what God had me to say today. He might give me something else Monday to tell you. But your relationship with God is so important. If you want to experience that abundant life, if you want the victory that Jesus won, you have to develop and maintain a good relationship with the Lord. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.